and welcome to Why Running, a podcast where we share stories, tips, and advice to inspire and motivate you on your running journey. In this week's episode, I'm joined by Maggie Klein, a London-based content creator who, despite starting running only a year and a half ago, completed her first marathon and, you won't believe it, founded her own run club. Welcome, Maggie. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I mean, your journey is pretty incredible. You went from not running at all to completing the Berlin Marathon in the space of 18 months?
Yes.
How did you get into running and how did you make so much progress in such a short period of time?
Yes. So my running story is a little bit interesting because I can't really remember a clear reason I started running. I was living in Boston at the time. I was kind of there short term and I obviously didn't have many friends yet. I didn't have my family and the company I was working for went bankrupt. So I kind of just suddenly found myself not having anything to do, no one to hang out with, no plans, nothing to kind of set an alarm for in the morning. So I knew that I wanted to set up some sort of routine. I had literally never been on a run before. I don't think I haven't done one run before. I had to cancel my gym membership because I didn't have enough money for that. So I think that the logical thing in my head was, I'm just going to start running because that will at least give me a goal. It will keep me busy. It's somewhat free. Obviously, I ended up spending a lot of money on it, but it was free when I started. And I kind of got addicted to the feeling of progress. And it was funny because at first I thought, well, at least I'm going to, lose weight. And that wasn't the progress I was seeing. It was progress in my mental health. It was just my outlook on life. I felt like I really got a sparkle back. So then as I saw that it was helping me and getting better, I basically decided to sign up for my first race, which was a half marathon. Absolutely hated it. And I think up until this point, my running was still very not structured. I had a horrible, horrible race and was kind of ready to give it up all completely. And then when I picked it up again earlier this year, that was really when I saw a big shift in my mindset towards it. And I started to realize just how big of an impact it was making. It was then actually Adidas who asked me to run the Berlin Marathon, because I think that a lot of people online think that I signed up to a marathon and I didn't. I really didn't think I'd ever be able to do a marathon. And I don't think I would have ever done it if it wasn't for someone, or in this case, a brand, pushing me into it. So when they asked me, I actually did debate it at first. And I thought, should I just say no? And then I was like, well, if not now, then when? And most of my training, I still didn't believe in myself. And it was silly because I had friends and my husband say, you're completing every training run, so you obviously can do it. And I think it just took a lot of motivation and mindset and, work ethic to actually get myself there. Because something that I say on my channel is, I'm not naturally a good runner. I'm happy to say that. And I think that it takes me so much more work to just be kind of average. And average is a spectrum, because maybe my pace is average, but obviously average people don't run marathons as well. I think that in summary, the main thing that kind of got me to marathon stage was just believing in myself, focusing on benefits outside of, things like weight loss, focusing on especially the mental benefits, and just really staying dedicated to the process as well.
It's such an empowering story, but I think it's interesting that you didn't believe in yourself for a very long time until you actually got that question from Adidas. Do you think that their challenge, the fact that they challenged you to do this, made you have more confidence in yourself and also become more careful, structuring your training plan and about organizing your runs overall?
So I knew it was going to be a huge, huge challenge for me. And when I said yes, it was kind of I'm going to do it no matter what. And I also think something that really helps people like me, honestly, is that I'm not competitive. So for me, it was never about finishing in a certain amount of time. I will say the Berlin Marathon has a cutoff time. So my worry was more just about me not being able to make it in the cutoff time. But my only goal was to get across the finish line. And I thought, if I have to walk, if I have to do whatever, that's absolutely fine. But it definitely helped grow my confidence. And I also think, as cheesy as it sounds, a huge part of the motivation was for other people, because the reason that Adidas asked me, to be frank, is not because I'm an elite athlete or I'm the best athlete in the world. It's because I represent kind of the majority, the average runners, the people that think, I can run a 5K, but I could never do a marathon. And so that was my motivation to show people, you know what, if you're like me, you can also do this thing. It made me feel really good being able to push that message out.
And especially with your community, the community that you have on Instagram, on TikTok, it's just great that you can share that message and you can actually encourage more people through your videos, through your posts to sign up for their first 10K or their first half marathon, even if they don't believe in themselves.
I get really lovely messages all the time that say, because of you, I signed up for a half, because of you, I ran 10K. And that's what keeps me going, honestly, because I'm not really, in some ways, I'm not really posting to share my story. It's more to show you that you can do it as well. And it's really beautiful because I think that for a while, running felt a bit gatekept and it kind of felt like you needed to be athletic or a certain body shape, or you just needed to be this kind of persona to do running. And I really think there's been a shift now in that we're showing people that really anyone can be a runner.
You finished your training, you picked up your bib the day before. How was the morning before the race, before the marathon? How did you feel when you woke up? How did you feel when you got to the start line? And how was the whole experience overall?
It's so interesting. I actually wasn't nervous. I think I posted about it as well. And I said, my lack of nervousness is not because I am confident I'm going to smash it and it's going to go well. I didn't know how race day was going to go, obviously. I'd only done one race before, which was a half, and it didn't go well. So I didn't have any idea, but I wasn't nervous because I knew that I had given it my all in training. I knew that I had tried as much as I had. I had done everything right in terms of, stretches and eating and sleep. And so all I could do was get excited for the day. And I'd heard a lot of advice. So one of my favorite pieces of advice in terms of marathon is basically that the marathon is your victory lap. The hard work is the training. Marathon day is your day to kind of enjoy it. And so I really tried to challenge that essentially. I was like, this is the best day. This is the day where everything is going to be fun. People are going to be dressed up. It's not that deep. So I only had really excitement. Well, I was nervous about like the toilet situation and that kind of stuff. But in terms of the race that morning, I just woke up feeling honestly so excited.
It's such a great perspective to think of it as, something to enjoy and to have fun, to soak up the atmosphere and everything, because it's not about the time, it's not about, getting a PB. It's really about enjoying it and finishing it. If it's especially if it's your first marathon or first half marathon, it's so important to just get to the finish line really and have fun, enjoy it.
Yeah, and everyone has a different reason for running a marathon. And you see people in different charity shirts, and a lot of times they have a reason they pick that charity. And you see people crying, and you see people when they reunite with their family on the course. And the marathon is so much more than how quickly you completed the run. It's really, well, the whole training journey is a journey, in my opinion, of self-discovery. You learn so much about yourself. You push yourself to limits you didn't know you would. And it's this really beautiful kind of expression of determination and self-love. And that's how I think running should be, even outside of a marathon. You don't need a marathon to have those feelings. And I think that that's also what keeps you going, honestly.
Now that you're on the other side and you can call yourself a marathoner, what advice would you give to your younger self if you could go back to 12 months ago, or let's say 18 months ago when you started?
Oh my God. Well, I never, ever thought I'd be a marathoner. And I know that maybe a lot of people say that, but I can't express how little that reality ever kind of came across my mind. I genuinely was always the person that could, I'd get, out of breath walking. I can't catch a ball. I can't kick a ball. I honestly cannot do anything like physical, really. I'm so clumsy. So now that I am a marathoner, I think I would have just told myself to never think that I couldn't do something. It's so easy to put yourself in a bracket of well, because I wasn't sporty growing up, I'm not gonna do this thing. So I would have told myself, you know, always do something, even if you don't think you can. And also, you don't have to be good at something to do it. You know, you can start running and realize, oh, my pace is slower than everyone's, and I'm taking a lot longer to get to points that people take just a few weeks to get to. But that doesn't take away from the fact that you're still doing it, you're putting in the effort. So yeah, you don't have to be the best one out there. Just honestly, I would have just told myself to start sooner if I could have.
Your content has been very much focused on your marathon training recently. What I really loved is the fact that you also shared your bad days as well, the days when you didn't finish your long runs, or the days when you didn't feel very well. Could you tell us a bit more about that, and why it was important to you as a content creator to share that kind of stuff on social media as well?
Yeah, it's obviously not, you know, a surprise to anyone that social media is a bit of a highlight reel. You know, people tend to show the good days more than the bad days, and I definitely still share close to 100% of my good days and nowhere near 100% of my bad days. But I think that I actually toyed with it because when I started posting at first, my, you know, reason was I want to get people into running. And so at first I thought the way to get people into running is only by telling them the good sides of running. And then I realized if I was a viewer and I was actually watching, you know, other people's content, of course, as well, and I'm only seeing people have so much fun on their runs and always complete their runs, and I'm only seeing good vibes, and then I have bad runs and bad days, I'm going to think something's wrong with me. I'm going to think, well, maybe I'm not made to do this. So then I thought, you know what, people need to see the bad side as well. And I don't think it'll put people off, but it just shows a bit of a realistic, you know, outlook on what running can look like. So for me, it was really important to show the struggles with it as well, because there are honestly so many. And I think that honestly, like half of my runs I don't enjoy, and to be completely honest. And I think that people have the same outlook. I think you really enjoy post-run. But I think that during the run, it can sometimes be even one and two runs that just don't feel great. And that's okay. That's the beauty of it, that you keep going out even though you have bad days.
What feedback did you get from your followers when you started posting about those bad days as well?
Mostly positive, which was why I felt like it was a good idea. Most of the comments were things like, we all have bad days and that's okay. Well, thank you for showing us, you know, that not everyone is a good run. So I do think that it's really important to show that as well.
As a content creator in the running space, do you still feel the pressure of maybe posting certain things or looking a certain way, or and how what relationship do you have now with social media, that you are present on social media, not just a user, if that makes sense?
Yeah, well, there is honestly, there's so many different types of pressure. I think just being a running content creator, you always have a pressure to be training for a race, signing up for a race. Obviously, now that I finished the marathon, I'm not too sure what my plan is yet. And I think that people always kind of want to see you looking for a challenge or achieving something. So there's obviously that side of it. I also think that it can start to get a bit crazy in terms of how many products are pushed out to you. Obviously, brands are sending you products, and you know, you're also paid to promote things. And so I think that when you see a content creator wearing all of the latest gear and have a rotation of 10 shoes, that's obviously not realistic. But as a content creator, you kind of have to show that because there is obviously pressure from it being your job. There's also pressure on kind of being realistic and being relatable. And so I'm really honest about it. You know, if people say, how should I train? What shoes should I wear? I say, you don't need 10 shoes. You can have one for everything. There's a real responsibility, honestly. Just people will say to me, I started doing this because of you. So you need to be really responsible with what you're promoting. I'll never give information of things that I'm not sure about. And if I share running tips, it's always got to come with a caveat of this worked for me, because I can't say that we're all the same and our bodies are all the same. So yeah, honestly, lots of different pressures.
But I think just being honest, as you are on social media, it really helps, because that's what people really appreciate. They come back to your page because they know that you're not trying to sell them everything. You're just like showing them different options, but you're saying, look, you don't have to have everything. You don't have to get a pair of new running shoes every every other month, or a pair of shorts, or like expensive shorts. You can run in anything, really, and you can keep it affordable as well. And I think that's so important, because we feel that as users as well a lot.
And just in general, being honest on social media is the best thing. Ultimately, people will follow you for you, and they want to see who you are. So I would never put up a persona that wasn't me. And that's really what got me started on social media, because I wasn't posting about being a slow runner in the beginning. I was just being genuine on my journey, and I was just genuinely sharing my pace. And only then did I start to get comments of, "You're so relatable, and this is so," and I didn't think I was relatable. I was just, "This is what I'm doing." But I think that through that honesty, that's how people kind of connected with me as well.
How has your life changed since starting social media, and what impact do you think it had on your on the way you feel overall, on your mental health, on your confidence?
Oh, it's had such a big impact. I mean, obviously, I do this kind of part time now, but this is a big part of my job, whereas before it was kind of just like a hobby. With that has come, obviously, as I mentioned, huge responsibilities, but also a huge amount of opportunities. Like I said, I don't think I would have ever run a marathon if it wasn't for social media. I would have never worked with some of the brands that I've worked with, would have never met people in the community, would have never have started my run club. So it has opened up a whole world of different opportunities. And I think for my confidence, my mental health, I really feel that the past year or so I've been on social media, I've actually just become more me, and I've become more confident talking online, talking to strangers, showing people my personality. And that's been a really, really nice thing. Like I've seen so much more growth. And even small things, like previously, I would have never even worn shorts. And now, not only am I wearing shorts, I'm actually posting videos of me in shorts. I'm posting, videos of me mostly with no makeup on, sweaty, wearing clothes that maybe aren't the most flattering. And I'm actually okay with it now. So it's just made me feel so much more confident in me, really.
I love that. And I think, again, it just has such a big impact on your audience as well. And the people who see you, they're like, oh, it's totally fine to, not wear makeup on a run, or not wear like your best kit, or your, I don't know, your best trainers, if you've got like a nice pair of shorts, to wear the same pair all the time. I think it's just so refreshing to see that, especially because everything used to look so curated on social media. It's nice to see like a new perspective now.
Yeah, I think there's been a shift in social media in general, in that things feel a little less curated. And that's really nice, because it also makes me feel like I can be the real me, and it gets, people relate to it. And I think that if I was showing everyone a picture perfect image of me every single day, makeup, hair looking incredible, latest gear running, I think that the way the world has gone, honestly, I think people wouldn't even receive that well, because they would think, that's obviously not the real you, that's not us. And so I would rather, just show me for who I am.
Let's talk about plotters now, because this is going to be like a quite big part of your life. It's quite inclusive run club in London that aims to bring people together and change the idea of run clubs, because I think, especially in London, it can be very very much about competition, and very much about PBs and that kind of stuff. How did you have this idea about it, and how have you decided to create a run club?
So, a lot of people had been telling me, honestly, for the last year that I've been on social media, that I should start a run club. So, this kind of started, honestly, as soon as I started posting about running. Everyone said it would be a great idea to start an inclusive run club, or simply a small group of us should meet up to run together. And honestly, for the longest time, I didn't have the confidence to. I was only just about getting the confidence to post about my running, and a run club felt 100 billion steps ahead for me. And I had never been to a run club. And honestly, then I started to go to a few kind of brand event run clubs, and it was always a pretty horrible experience, because I couldn't keep up with anyone. And I noticed that they would say, slow pace, 6:30 or something like that. And I can't run that. And so I've always kind of found myself being the odd one out. And it just brought back those feelings of being at school again and not being able to be on the sports teams. And I realized that there definitely is a need for it. I only ended up setting it up probably a few months ago. And to be completely honest, there are other inclusive run clubs out there and other slow run clubs out there. But I think that there can never be too many. People will always, have dates that they can do. They will always bounce around. And it's always just nice to know that at a certain date, there's a group of people who will welcome you in with open arms. So I decided to set it up, kind of imagining that it would take a while to, kick off and people to get interested. And immediately people really responded to it because despite there already being other slower and inclusive run clubs, there just aren't enough. There really aren't. So it was really nice to have people come who have never been on a run before or who had never done a 5K or who went to other run clubs and were left behind. And yeah, and it was really nice to get people in a community and get people feeling like even if you're slower or you're not as good at running, you can still be a part of this community in some way.
Why do you think kind of the traditional run clubs have stayed the same despite the fact that we've seen a shift on social media? Why do you think they're still very much focused on time and performance and they're not that inclusive or as inclusive as they should be?
I think it's kind of what you were saying generally about people being focused on competition and PB, and perhaps people originally or traditionally getting into running for a sense of just kind of being quick and being able to perform really well. And I think that maybe only recently have people seen online this idea of running can be fun, running can be a hobby, it's not that serious. And, it's no lie that in the last year to 2 years, we've seen a huge amount of new people take on running. And I think it's kind of this new wave of runners that are potentially more into this idea of I'm going to run at my own pace. So to be frank, I've got people coming to my run club who are not, so-called slow runners, but they still like coming because it's not a sense of competition. It's really just a sense of doing it for fun. There's an activity after, there's free food, which everyone loves. And so I think that that's why we're seeing a few run clubs shift. But, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately for them, but a lot of people still kind of do it for different reasons than what I think I and a lot of newer runners these days are doing it for.
I think it's sad that there are so many people out there who just feel intimidated about, the traditional idea of a run club. So it's so nice and refreshing to actually see a change in this space as well, because I've personally only joined a run club once and only been to one park run. Again, for that reason, because it just feels everything's so competitive. Every time you go to a park run, for example, which shouldn't be that competitive, it just feels like that. And it feels like, oh, there are people who've been doing this for like decades, maybe, and you're just there on your like first park run, and you feel so small and just so not ready for it, and you're on your own. So I think it's just so nice to see that this is changing now.
Yeah, it's also important to note that run clubs and park runs will attract so-called better runners because they will feel more confident to be able to go to them. And I think that I kind of thought I wasn't the norm, but the average 5K for a woman is around 37 minutes. So when you go to a park run or a run club and everyone's running 25-minute 5K, that's actually not the average, but it's obviously the sort of people that will feel more confident going to those places. And that's a really, really important thing for people to actually realize.
And it's so important to talk about these things, isn't it? To talk about these averages, because I think when you see so many people, as you said earlier, just running like a 5K in 25 minutes, that's not slow for the majority of women or for the majority of us. So I think it's so important to talk about this a lot more and look at the real picture and not just at the elite runners who are actually maybe doing this for a living or maybe doing this for years and years.
100%. And we've also really, I mean, sometimes there's still a shame around pace. There's always that joke of people posting on Strava, like a 25-minute 5K and, commenting, injured or slow plod for me today or hungover, I was really tired. And people still feel the need to justify their pace in that way. And it's really a shame. And that's why I choose to embrace it so much online, because I didn't speak so much about pace in the beginning, but when I realized there was a real need to normalize what is honestly just a normal pace, then that's when I posted about it. And I still get so many comments that just shame me for it and say, that's a walk, or did you stop and catch a movie halfway? Or I don't know. I get some horrible comments and I don't care anymore because I post it to normalize it, honestly.
Yeah, and I think it's when we start normalizing these things that we really start redefining this idea of what running really means. It's not about, running super fast, and people think of just running, and they don't think that when you get into the long distance running, you really have to slow down. You really have to feel your body. You have to pace yourself and not run like, at the same pace that you would run a 3K. So again, redefining that idea of what running really means is so important. Where would you like to see Plotters in the next 12 months, or like in the next 3 years?
I definitely want it to grow. I definitely would love it to be outside of London. The amount of comments that I get, I wish I had this in Leeds. I wish I had this in, actually, not even in the UK. Some people say, I wish I had this in Australia, which is obviously very ambitious. But I would love it to grow, because I think that naturally these kind of new things tend to attract big city hubs, and then there are people outside of it that do miss out. So that would be really important to me. I keep my run club actually to all ages and all genders. And I think that slow running for the most part attracts women, but I think that there are actually a lot of men out there who don't feel that they fit into either category at the moment, because especially more for men, I think there is a pressure around high performance and speed. So I do genuinely want men to know that they are welcome. And currently I only get about one to two men coming, so I would love to it be a bit more gender inclusive as well, because I think that's a big part of something that the slow running community actually misses. And I'd love to also get Plodders included in a few more initiatives. So actually, we are going to be doing something really cool for Movember that includes other run clubs in London, and things like that, where I feel like, being part of a community, I think, is all about doing good for the community. And so I don't want the run club to be just about going for a run and having a hot chocolate, but I also want it to be about being able to raise money for charity, being able to do cleanups, or being able to do other good. So there's a lot of really, really great things to be able to do for Plodders, hopefully, in the next 12 months or so.
Oh, it sounds amazing. It's just so inspiring. I hope you'll be able to expand it and at some point come to Newcastle as well. I'm based in Newcastle, so it'll be amazing to see Plotters all around the UK. I know we're getting closer to the end of the year, but what would be your goals for the next 12 months, for 2025? Have you signed up already to any races?
So I've signed up to London Landmarks, which is in April, and that's a half. That was honestly just because my husband wanted to do a half. He is so incredibly quick. He always says to me, oh, let's train together. And I'm like, in what world can we ever train together? And I think that when I started running, also just me veering off, I always remember him telling me a story about doing a half marathon with zero training. Just his friend asked him to do a half, and on that day he did it, no training, in 2 hours. And for me, it was 6 months of training, and I did it in 3 hours, which really goes to show how different we can all be just naturally. But I've agreed to do Landmarks with him. And when I say with him, nothing about it will be with him, but we both signed up. And the thing that I'm really manifesting is London Marathon. I think that that's my top choice of marathon, simply because it's my city. And it's so cool that I've gotten to this point now where I actively want to do a marathon. So if I can manage to get a place, because it's very, very hard in London, I'd love to do that. And honestly, I'm so ambitious that in my head, I'm also thinking, oh, next year, if I could do New York or Chicago. I feel just like this world's opened up to me now, where I really, really think that I can actually do marathons and also enjoy it, because I had the best time in Berlin. I thought it was so fun. So I have a lot of great, great goals, honestly, yeah, for 2025 in terms of races. Just need to figure out how to get into them, and then I'll be doing them.
Following your recent experience, would you change anything to your training, to your maybe nutrition or your planning? Like, what would you work more on for your next marathons, for example?
I think the main thing would just be potentially to give myself more time. This opportunity came around a little bit quickly, so it just meant that when I had a few weeks of kind of illness or little niggles and little injuries, it just wasn't probably enough time for me to train with it being my first marathon. So that would be one main thing. And I think that, and this isn't to do with the training, but I took my race quite softly, I guess, which was a great thing because it was my first race and I didn't know how I'd react and I've never done a marathon distance. But I do feel confident enough now that I could say, oh, I think my next marathon I'd actually, give it a bit more of a push. I think in terms of everything else I did outside of it, I did pretty well. Probably could have strength trained a bit more. Nutrition wise, probably could have done a bit less kind of post long run giant binges. I probably didn't need that much food. But you are so hungry when you start training for a marathon. But yeah, for me, the main thing was just the amount of time I was training for it.
My final question for you today is, why do you run and what do you love about running?
Oh, I think I run because it makes me feel good. It's as simple as that. It just makes me feel good. I feel great after it. I feel better overall. I could be having a rough week and not feeling like I'm getting anything done. But if I've done two runs that week, that is still something I accomplished. It makes me a better person in so many ways because it teaches me what it is to push myself. It teaches me what it is to be kind to myself. It shows me, it shows me the confidence to put myself out into the world. So overall, it makes me a really better person. And that's my why, really.
And I think it can have such a big impact on your life overall, outside of, running and outside of your fitness. It's just, it impacts every single aspect of your life, which is incredible when you think about it.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. And if you take to running outside, which obviously can be quite tough in the UK, but how amazing is it to just give yourself the opportunity on a few days a week to be out in nature, to not be scrolling on your phone, to just be present? Because I don't know, I just don't make the space in my life to simply stare at trees. And today on my run, I was looking at all the autumnal leaves falling off the trees and just thinking, this is amazing. Because any other time I'd be outside, I'd be with friends, I'll be on my phone, I'll be doing anything else. It's just so such a beautiful, unique opportunity to kind of, almost meditate in a way. So I think that everyone can benefit from running in some way.
I'm so glad you said that because it almost feels like it makes you a lot more mindful. It helps you get back into your body and notice things. Even if you are outside sometimes on a walk, you don't notice things. You're probably too much in your head, but with running, it gives you so much mental clarity and helps you notice things and helps you be more present in general. And it's so beautiful. I love that.
Yeah. And that's why I always say also running has no rules, because if you run for 10 minutes and then walk for 5 minutes because you're enjoying the view, and then run for 3 minutes and then you buy a coffee because you want a coffee, and then you run for 5 minutes, that's running. That can be your running. It doesn't need to be you sprinting for 5K and tracking it and posting about it. Running can be whatever you want it to be. So there are absolutely no rules.
Exactly. And just letting go of those restrictions or those ideas that we have in our head, I think it's so important as well, because we almost think that, oh, that run is not counting if you stopped, or if you didn't feel well and you couldn't finish it, or if you didn't have your watch with you, when in fact it's just a run anyway. And if you had fun, that's what really matters.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Maggie, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure to chat with you, and I'm so glad about your run club. I think it's such an incredible initiative, and I'm so excited to see where it's going to go. Where can people find you if they want to follow you on social media?
Thank you. On social media, you can find me on TikTok. It's just Maggie Klein. On Instagram, it's Maggie Klein, but with a dot between the I and the E. And then Plodders Run Club is also on Instagram and on Click.
Amazing. We've got a quick fire round of question if you're up for it.
Yeah, sure.
So what's your favorite season for running?
Summer, the summer. I know some people hate the heat, but I love sweating and I love the sunshine, so easy.
What's your favorite place to run?
The London parks, they're all great. Regent's, Hyde, all of them.
What's your favorite post-run snack?
This is a really weird one. I do really enjoy sushi or smoothies, which not together, obviously, but I love them both.
And what smoothie would you normally go for?
It's usually some kind of almond butter, banana, or peanut butter, something like that.
Oh, that sounds really good. And what's your favorite song to listen to on a run?
This is so nerdy. I love musical theater. Like sometimes I'll just put on an entire album like of Hamilton because it's music and it's a story. So for me, it's like the best of both worlds.
I'll definitely give that a go. Thank you so much again, Maggie, for coming on the show. I look forward to catching up with you soon.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to Why Running. If you love this episode, then please leave me a review and share this podcast on your social media. And if you'd like to hear more from me, then make sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. I'll see you next time.